The message this morning comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. And this is what it says. "And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, 'How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." David calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And the great throng heard him gladly. This is the word of God. May we hear it gladly. Mark chapter 12 describes events that happened on the last week of Jesus' ministry on earth as the incarnate Son of God. On Sunday of that week, he entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey colt as the crowds waved palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He went into the temple and looked around at everything. As it was already late, he went out to the village of Bethany with the 12 disciples and spent the night probably at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The next day, he went back to Jerusalem and cursed a fig tree on the way into Jerusalem because it had leaves but no fruit. And that fig tree was representative of Israel. That fig tree was a picture of the nation Israel, with all of the leaves of religion, but no real fruit of knowing and living in obedience to the true and the living God. He went into Jerusalem and into the temple and drove out the money changers and the animal sellers who had set up a marketplace in the temple court to sell sacrificial animals and to change currency into the kind of currency that was used in Jerusalem. When evening came, they went back to Bethany. The next morning, they came back to Jerusalem and the disciples noticed the cursed fig tree already withered to its roots. He went back to the temple where he was questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees about where he got the authority to do the things he was doing. They shied away from him when they realized it was going to take some deceitful scheme to do him in. He told the parable of the tenants, which incriminated the scribes and the Pharisees and made them very mad. So they left him and they went to make their evil schemes. The scheme was to trap him with a trick question publicly. They wanted to catch him, to find him making some kind of statement that would bring him into disfavor, either with the people or with Rome. So the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews, sent representatives to trap him with questions so that they could get him destroyed. He was asked a political question by the Herodians: "Shall we pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He was asked a doctrinal question by the Sadducees about the resurrection and about life after death. He was asked a moral question by one of the scribes: "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" He answered all of their questions brilliantly and even silenced them so that they could say nothing else. And now, in today's passage, we have Jesus himself asking a question. What question did he ask? How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son? Why did Jesus ask this question? And what is the significance of it? Well, first of all, Jesus asked this question because the people had a false view of the Christ or the Messiah. Christ is the Greek word and Messiah is the Hebrew word. They both mean the same thing. They both mean the Anointed One. And it refers to the long promised coming one who would come and be a deliverer and a ruler of Israel. They had a false view of the Christ. And Jesus wanted to get them to look into the Scriptures. Jesus wanted to show these people the correct teaching about the Messiah. So He took them to Psalm 110. That is where this quote comes from. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110 is a messianic psalm. David was the human author of that psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says. He says, David himself, in the Holy Spirit, says something. Now, what does the psalm say? The psalm says, "The Lord said to my Lord." The Lord is God the Father. My Lord is the Christ. David says, God the Father, the Lord, said to my Lord, the Christ, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. This conversation between God the Father and the Christ has already taken place before David wrote the psalm. Now, it was common knowledge in Israel that the Christ would be a son of David. That is, He would be a descendant of David. Now, in Psalm 110, David calls the Christ his Lord. How can it be possible that David's son is also David's Lord? David's son would be inferior to him and come along sometime after him. David's Lord would be superior to him and would exist before him. How is that possible? The only way that that is possible is if the Christ is both God and man. God to have existed prior to David and man to come along at some time after him. If the Christ is a man, then He can be born into this world as a descendant of David. If the Christ is God, then He has existed before David and is superior to David. And He had this conversation recorded in Psalm 110 with God the Father. That is the truth of the matter about the Christ. And that is what Jesus is trying to get these people to see in the psalm. How the psalm teaches that and how the psalm supports that. So the Christ is already in existence at the time that David wrote that psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And He is already David's Lord. The Scriptures also teach that the Christ is David's son. So Jesus says, David himself calls Him Lord. How is He also His son? How is the Christ, the son of David, who would have to come after Him, also the Lord of David, who existed before Him? The only way that Christ can be both Lord of David and son of David is if He is a divine person. And that is exactly what He is. He is a person who is both God and man at the same time. Now, apparently, nobody in Israel ever considered that. But it is taught in this psalm. And the Apostle Paul would come along years later and write about it in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to what he said. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding His Son, who as to His human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before Psalm 110 was ever written by King David, Jesus Christ already existed. Not only did He already exist then, He existed all the way back, as far as you can go into eternity past. He is an eternal person. He never had a beginning. In eternity past, the Jesus that was being questioned by these Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians in the temple on the last week of His earthly mission existed right there within the triune Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the eternal Son of God. He did not have a body at that time, but He was there as one of the eternal persons of the triune God. There came a time in history when Jesus stepped down out of eternity. By a miracle of the Holy Spirit, He went through the process of being born of a woman. He went through all the stages of growing up from a baby to an adolescent to an adult in a town called Nazareth in the region of Galilee in the land of Israel. At about 30 years of age, He left His home in Galilee and became an itinerant preacher. He made His headquarters in Capernaum and went up and down the land of Israel, back and forth across the Sea of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the kingdom of God. At several junctures along the way, He was confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were men who were devoted to the study of the law of Moses from the time of the great synagogue in the days of Ezra. And the Pharisees, their name literally means separated ones, were ones who had devoted themselves from the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, almost a couple of centuries before the time of Christ, to the meticulous observance of the law and the traditions that they had set up according to their interpretation of the law. The scribes and Pharisees were together a lot in the crowds that followed Jesus. They pursued Jesus. They pursued Him in order to try to catch Him saying or doing something with which they could charge Him. The scribes accused Him of blasphemy when He forgave a paralytic's sins before healing his paralyzed body. The Pharisees criticized Him for eating with tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees criticized Him when His disciples plucked heads of grain from a field and ate on the Sabbath, what they considered was breaking the Sabbath day. The Pharisees criticized Him for casting out demons, for His disciples not washing their hands when they ate, and for healing on the Sabbath. Several times they tried to trap Him with trick questions, but He always outwitted them. Having silenced the Herodians, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees in this last confrontation in the temple, Jesus now addresses the crowds in the temple with a question of His own. So Jesus wanted those people to look at the Scriptures and get an accurate picture of the nature of the Christ, and to realize that that very person was standing before them. He was that person that the psalm was talking about. David's son and David's Lord. David's son and David's Lord was standing before them that day in the temple on this last week of His earthly ministry. Now, the second reason that Jesus asked this question is because the question is actually related to the question that the scribe asked Him. Go back to the last question that was asked of Jesus by the scribe, because Jesus' question is related to it. The scribe's question was, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We were created to worship God and to serve our fellow man. That is the sum total of our whole duty in life, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. But that is a huge problem for us because no one has ever loved God with all their heart and soul and mind. No one has ever loved their neighbor as their self. If we stand before those two great commandments and honestly judge ourselves by them, we have to confess that we have not kept them. Those two commandments expose our sinfulness and the depth of our depravity. Those two commandments leave us condemned before God with nothing to commend ourselves to Him whatsoever. That is what makes Jesus' question so important. The question from Jesus is the crowning question of the day. He said to the people, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the Son of David, when David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord, so how is he his son? How can the Christ be the Son of David and the Lord of David at the same time? Upon that question hinges our hope for eternity, because that question deals with the nature of Jesus Christ. And the nature of Jesus Christ is supremely important for our salvation. We need a Christ who can save us from the consequences of us not keeping those two greatest commandments of the law. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying to that crowd that day and to us, I am David's son and David's Lord. I am the Christ, and I am a greater Christ than you ever dreamed of. I am come to save you from your sins. Your greatest duty in life is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, but you cannot do it. You have failed miserably, but I have come to save you from your sins, and I can do it because I am the God-man. A God-man Messiah is the only kind of Messiah that can adequately save us. He had to be man in order to be a proper substitute for men and to die. He had to be God in order to be a perfect, sinless sacrifice and to give infinite value to His atonement and to rise again from the dead. That is what we have in Jesus Christ, the perfect Savior that we need, the answer to our greatest problem in life and death. Have you come to grips with His deity? Have you realized that this man, Jesus Christ, was God in human flesh? Have you come to see your need of Him? Do you realize what He has done for sinners like you and me? Have you come to appreciate His atoning sacrifice? Won't you embrace Him as your Lord and Savior today if you have not already done so, as we sing our final hymn?